This morning we're moving on in our study of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're in Matthew 6, 19 to 24, and you'll see in your bulletin an insert for your reading and filling out pleasure. Maximizing your joy from money. If you've seen our son Josiah in the past 6 months, you may have noticed his smile is transforming. His two bottom middle baby teeth have been replaced by larger, jagged adult teeth. Some of our kids' friends get money for their baby teeth, and so we decided that would be a fun thing to do, and we do the same. And our first transaction came in June. We gave him $1 for his bottom right incisor. So far, Josiah has lost 3 teeth, and he's thrilled about it because he's saving for a lightsaber, one of those glow-in-the-dark Star Wars weapons. So he's been standing in front of the mirror and wiggling his top incisor in hoping of cashing in. It reminds me a little of this comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes. One of my baby teeth came out. I have to say, I'm not entirely comfortable holding a piece of my own head. Mom says the tooth fairy might give me 50 cents for this tooth. Wow. So I got an idea. I poured plaster over the tooth to make a mold, and now I'm casting duplicate teeth. I'll put one under the pillow every night, and by the end of the year, I'll have over $150. Do you think the tooth fairy will believe your mouth had 300 teeth in it? If she'd rather have an old tooth than 50 cents, how bright can she be? In the United States, we learn to seek money from an early age. What were you doing on Christmas 2002? It was 5 years ago. Let me tell you about a guy named Jack Whitaker of Hurricane, West Virginia, and what he was doing. He was 55 years old, the founder of a very successful construction company that employed 100 people in his small town. He was a self-made millionaire. When he woke up Christmas morning, Jack was worth about $15 million. He went to breakfast at a local diner, bought some biscuits, and with it, a Powerball lottery ticket. Guess who won the jackpot? When he went to bed that night, he was worth over $330 million. Merry Christmas! When word got out that Jack had won the biggest jackpot in Powerball history, he was quickly inundated with requests for money. People began viewing him not as a neighbor or a friend, but as the answer to their financial problems. Everywhere he went, people wanted his money. His relationships went sour. His granddaughter's life was threatened for ransom. He became a target of local armed robberies. He was sued for everything you can imagine in 400 separate lawsuits. In the course of all this mess, his wife divorced him. For Jack, winning the lottery was the curse of a lifetime. And unfortunately, this story is not unique. There is even a cable TV show called "Winning the Lottery Ruined My Life." People tend to think that money fixes all problems. It doesn't. Money cannot buy happiness. It seems like it might, because it buys us what we need, keeps our stomachs full enough, keeps a roof over our head, and other necessities. But apparently, once you're past the basics, it just makes life more complicated. Why was a self-made millionaire buying a lottery ticket? Is it possible that no amount of money will ever really satisfy us? Is it possible that the things in which we invest our money disappoint us over and over again? We might ask then, if money can't make me happy, then what in the world am I supposed to do with it? What does Jesus have to say about it? Fortunately, he had plenty to say about it. In fact, he preached more about money than he did about heaven or hell. Oftentimes, when his disciples asked Jesus how they could obtain salvation, he launched into a sermon on advice about money management. "Sell your possessions, give to the poor," he said. When Zacchaeus, the tax collector, announced his plans to give to the poor and make up for all the years of cheating taxpayers, Jesus responded with, "Today salvation has come to this house." Why is that? What is the connection? Where do God and money meet? Here's the key. Your spending habits reflect your heart. We spend our money on the things that are most important to us. Money is a very personal issue. People don't go around asking each other how much money they make or what bills they have, because it's intensely personal. Our checkbook ledger shows our priorities. It reveals the choices we make day to day. And as we look at our text today, we'll see three ways that we can maximize our joy from money. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Today we're looking at this section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Or you could say Sermon on the Mount. Let's begin with the passage. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." A popular interpretation of this passage goes like this. Jesus is not teaching that money is evil in itself. What this passage is teaching is that we should not love money more than Jesus. It's perfectly fine to have earthly treasures as long as we don't put them above God. Now, certainly money is not evil in itself. Basically, biblically, wealth is rightly seen as a blessing from God. And it is certainly true that money should not be more important to us than God, for if it were, that would be blatant idolatry. And lastly, it is certainly true that there is nothing inherently sinful about earthly treasures. But even though these things are true, I believe this passage is often misunderstood. So what is it that Jesus really means? What's his point? Jesus is not giving us some rules to keep. He's not telling us. Jesus is telling us how to invest our money wisely. What Jesus is doing is telling us how to maximize our joy from our money. UC Berkeley recently conducted a series of interviews with 124 of their business majors. After the students graduated, the school continued to interview them about their personal lives. The study concluded that as these students climbed corporate ladders and saw their salaries increase, they became more and more dissatisfied with their quality of life. Their money was not buying them happiness. So, how do we maximize our joy from money? In order to answer this question, we're going to divide the passage into three parts. And we'll begin by considering verses 19 to 21. Let's look at these verses again. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." How can we maximize our joy from money? The answer from verses 19 to 21 is simply this. Just do it. In this passage, Jesus is clearly giving a command. He's not making a suggestion. He's not asking us to weigh the options and consider the pros and cons of two different possibilities. He's not saying, well, Steve, you might want to invest your life in the pleasures and treasures of this world. Or you might want to consider investing in the kingdom of God. It's really up to you, Steve. I'll support you either way. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, do not blank. And then he says, do blank. So what exactly are we supposed to not do? And what are we exactly supposed to do? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Jesus is here making a strong negative command. Do not store up. The word here, store up, is a word that means to keep some material thing safe by storing it. The reason is this. They won't be safe. Jesus says that these treasures on earth, though they seem secure, they are not safe. He says of them, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Basically, if we try to save things just to keep them safe, they'll end up being consumed by insects or otherwise, or stolen by thieves. There's nothing on this earth that is safe. No matter how strong our bank accounts and safe deposit boxes and stock portfolios are, our money is not safe. Even the values of our houses is not safe. They think they can only go up from this point. The things we buy on planet Earth are just not safe. Whether investing our money in stuff, in our comfort, our health, our reputation, nothing earthly lasts. In the late 90s, my wife Janelle had a coworker who thought he'd found a surefire way to become a multimillionaire. He took $15,000 and invested it in one of the nation's hottest trends. Beanie Babies. Do you remember how popular they were in the 90s? He bought thousands of them, and he even dedicated an entire room in his house to this collection of pristine condition stuffed animals, which his children were forbidden to touch. He was imagining a future where Beanie Babies were worth gold, where he'd be better off than everyone else because he made a wise prediction. What if he had known the future? That Beanie Babies would be little more than yard sale fodder? Would he have invested differently? Unlike Janelle's co-worker, we do know something of the future. As Jesus said, all things on heaven on earth will pass away. Nothing earthly keeps its value. Even if we think our possessions, comfort, and social status are relatively safe, we aren't. Shocker, you could die today. I could die today. And then what of all the earthly things that we've saved up for ourselves? You just got zero return on your investment. Does anyone know who America's first billionaire was? The oil tycoon John D. Rockefeller. When he died in 1937, his accountant was asked, how much money did Rockefeller leave behind? And his accountant's reply was simple, all of it. We can't take it with us. Jesus tells us not to save up treasures on earth because in the end, it's all worthless. We read in James 4:14, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That makes you feel important, doesn't it? So when you're lying on your deathbed, do you want to look back and think of your life as one big investment in the kingdom of God? treasures in heaven? Or do you want to see it as a big waste of time? That's the last one. We'll see the next one in a second. There we go. I watched a lot of TV, ate a lot of fast food, and sold more laminated countertops in June of 1973 than anyone else in the Southeast region. My work here is done. Don't waste your life. Jesus tells us how not to waste our lives. Jesus tells us how to maximize our joy from our money. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he tells us why. Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Do you want to maximize your return on your money? You want to get the most joy possible from your money? Invest it in something of permanent value. Invest in treasures that are never consumed. And how can we do that? How do we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven? I think of Luke 12:33 as one example. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. We can store up for ourselves treasures in heaven by loving others, by doing good deeds, giving to the poor, supporting missionaries, giving to local ministries and charities, supporting our own church, using our resources which God has given us to spread the gospel. Jesus is very clear. Do not store up treasures on earth. Store up treasures in heaven. Now some may ask, should I save some money for retirement? If so, how much? Should I invest in stocks and bonds? If so, how much? Should I have life insurance? Some even ask, how much food should I store in my pantry or refrigerator? And of course, there's no single answer for all of us to these questions. It's between each of us and God. But we do know this. We are commanded not to store up treasures on earth. And we are commanded to store up treasures in heaven. And in case we're still asking why, in verse 21, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Question. Do you want your heart to be focused on heavenly things? Or do you want your heart to be focused on earthly things? Your heart will be where your treasure is. Is your heart consumed with earthly things? If so, then so is your money. Is your heart consumed with heavenly things? If so, then so is your money. If you invest all of your money in business, say a restaurant chain, your attention will naturally gravitate toward the news of that restaurant chain. You'll think about your investment and wonder how things will turn out. The same is true if you're supporting a missionary or sending shoeboxes of school supplies and Bibles to children in some far-off corner of the world. You'll spend time wondering if they're using that pad of paper, if they understand that tract. Part of your heart goes with these shoeboxes. Do you want your heart to be focused on heavenly things? Then put your wallet there. Spend your money on kingdom investments and your heart will follow. How can we maximize our pleasure from money? Invest in the kingdom of God. That is where our treasures are safe. And that is where our hearts are safe. Just do it. And as we continue in our text, we'll see the second thing we need to do in order to maximize our joy from money. Verses 22 to 23 read, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is here talking about good eyes and bad eyes, light and darkness. He says that the eye is the lamp of the body. In other words, the body finds its way through the eyes. If you have good eyes, your body goes the right way, and it's full of light. If you have bad eyes, your body goes the wrong way, and it's full of darkness. This truth can be turned into a question. What are you looking at? What are you seeking? What do you have your eyes set on? Just a few years ago when I was in high school, I remember watching one of those 1.5-hour paid for advertisements on TV. For a half hour, this man was talking to me. He was telling me that if I just set my heart on it, I could be a millionaire within just a few years. He was telling me that I had to make up my mind that I wanted to be rich. He was telling me that I had to make a decision that I'd do whatever it takes, give up whatever I needed to give up, do whatever I needed to do to get rich. And if I did that, I could do it. He was very convincing. And after a half hour, I was so convinced that I could make up my mind and secure a prosperous future for myself, then I didn't even think I needed to spend the $29.99 to buy his book. So what do you think? Is it okay to seek money like this? To dream of it? To be passionate about it? What did Jesus say? Let's return to our text. According to these verses, how can we maximize our joy from money? Here's the answer. Open your eyes to God. Not to money, but to God. Make Jesus the focus of your life. What's going to make you happy? If you think money will make you happy, you will seek money. You will think and scheme about how to get more of it. Money will be on your mind day and night. It will be ever before you, and your body will be full of darkness. But if you believe that God will make you happy and satisfy your soul, you will dream of God day and night. Knowing Jesus and pleasing Him, that is what your life will be all about. The teaching of these two verses is clear. Do you want to maximize your happiness from money? Open your eyes to God. Seek Him. Watch what He's doing. Pay attention to His ways and invest accordingly. We might think of Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So the first thing we can do to maximize our joy from money is just do it. Obey His command and store up for yourself treasures in heaven and not on earth. Second, open your eyes to God. Focus not on the instant gratification and the pleasures of this world, which really come up empty, but focus on God, using your money to advance the kingdom. And third, we can maximize our joy from money if we yield to serving God. Consider verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In this verse, God and money are both spoken of as slave owners, as masters. At the time of Jesus in the Roman Empire, slavery was not uncommon. People sometimes even sold themselves to a master so they could pay off debt, have food to eat, place to live, secure a job. But a slave could only have one master, and he served full time. You can't be a part-time slave. While we own our possessions, they also own us. We may have a great collection of jewelry or gadgets from Best Buy, but they come at a price. We worked for them, or we still are working for them. I like this Bizarro comic. It's coming up in a minute. There we go. Traditionally, the size of the diamond is proportionate to the amount of time you intend to spend at work. to work to pay off the diamond, right? And this is exactly the point that Jesus is making. You can't be a slave of two masters. If you're going to work to earn things that will last, things that will bring you joy for eternity. If you live and work for money and the earthly pleasures that it can buy, you are definitely not serving Jesus. But if your master is Jesus and you live for him, then you are certainly not living for money and the earthly pleasures that it can buy. Happiness is found not in serving God. I mean, not in serving money, but in serving God. Don't quote me on that. Happiness is found in serving God. So where do you go for happiness? Where do you go for fulfillment? If you want to maximize your joy from money, yield to serving God. Too many people think that money will bring happiness. And we have learned from this passage and multiple others and from our life experience that money does not bring happiness. Only God brings happiness. God made us, and he made us for a purpose. He made us for a relationship with him. And if we know him, if we know Jesus, we have life. If we do not know Jesus, we do not have life. Money is a tool. We can use it to try to buy the pleasures of this earth, or we can use it to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We can maximize our joy from money by doing three things. Just do it. Open your eyes. Yield to serving God. If we do these things, we will maximize our joy from money. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this passage. Thank you that you free us from the pleasures of this world, which just are empty. And you show us the way of life, of joy, and that's knowing you. God, we pray that you would help us to live out the truth of this passage and seek you and you alone. Invest all of us, all that we are, all that we have, everything in your kingdom. And we trust that that is where joy is found. We believe it.